Well, it's so wonderful to have you join me today. I'm glad you could take the time, and I really hope you'll receive the blessing you came to expect. You know, I've entitled my message today, now, it's called No Middle Ground. No Middle Ground. You see, when two opposing teams are about to do some sort of battle or conflict or play a game, perhaps, there's an area in the middle where nobody begins. It's kind of like a place set aside that's almost sacred ground. Well, you know, when it comes to the things of the Lord, well, there just ain't no middle ground. You know, it's either the Lord's way or it's your way. And, of course, the Lord's way is the best way because the Lord's way points to glory. But your way, that's the devil's way. That's the devil's way. Now, that might hurt a little bit. You might say, well, look, man, or preacher, or whoever you are, what gives you the right to tell me that I'm on the devil's side? Well, I personally, I don't have that right. But you see, when I got saved, when I repented and believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ and became a child of the King, then I received that ordination that says, you're on the Lord's side. You're on the Lord's side now, and there ain't no middle ground. So you just keep on keeping on for the Lord. You know, I remember a conversation I had with an old army buddy of mine several years ago. Yeah, it was, I had just converted from Catholicism and became a Christian shortly after leaving the service, that was. And Moose, that was his name, Moose. I don't even know if he's still living today. But Moose and I are very close when we're in the military. Of course, neither of us saved at the time, but I don't know, I just lost contact with him. But I was walking down the street down the city there the other day, and usually I can't walk by people who are sitting in on the corners with a paper cup and looking like they're on their last legs. If I got any money on me or anything that's of any use to them, I usually just give it to them. Now, I see lots of people, of course, they walk by, they just say, pay no mind. But I don't go downtown that much. And when I do, it just kind of breaks my heart when I see these people. I don't know one of them. But I knew Moose. But I didn't know him this time when I first saw him, except for one thing. He had a distinguishing mark. And it would never go away. Never. You see, he had this mark of, it was like a mole, and it was right above his right eye. Very, very, you know, obvious. But, you know, behind this was a man I'd never seen before in my life. Talk about a down and outer, and he had a beard that was hanging down to his chest. Of course, mostly gray by now. Well, like I said, Moose used to be an old army buddy of mine. In his hand, he had a Dixie cup. He didn't really understand or know much who I was anymore either. Oh, I felt real bad. So I took what I had and I put it in his cup. And I called his name, and when I called his name, he just didn't answer to it. But I wanted to give him the gospel. But did he answer? No, but I knew I had to give it to him, so I gave it to him anyway. I got down real close to him. Real close to him. And I told him all about the gospel of Jesus Christ, how the one had to repent and give their life over to Jesus because God loved them. He didn't want anybody to perish. Well, Moosey just kind of, groaned a little bit and didn't really say anything. But I said, Moosey, I pray the Lord will get a hold of your heart today, and that you'll understand that Jesus wants you. He wants you to come to Him. I left Moose that day. I never heard or seen anything more from him ever since. How's it with you? You ever met an old friend or two sitting on the curb somewhere, holding a Dixie cup in one hand and having one foot in hell? You know what? There's nothing in this world that you can do for them. There is one thing. You can always pray. You know, prayer activates God's will. Prayer makes God listen. The words of God say, pray. Pray without ceasing. That's what He says in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah 55, verse 11. The word of God tells us, so shall my word be that go forward. So shall my word be that go forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Wow. You know what? God was telling me exactly what I needed to hear. The word of God shall accomplish that which He pleases. Give them the gospel. That's our duty as a Christian. Give them the gospel. Give them all the gospel. Everywhere, anybody, anytime. We don't know who's saved and who isn't. So they'll be without excuse when they stand before God at the judgment seat. We can't save their soul, but we can point them toward the cross. And that's what we must do. The book of Romans is very clear. Romans 1, verses 18 and 19. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. God hath showed it unto them. My friends, your salvation is dependent upon two main things. Repentance and belief. Without them, there is no salvation. Now, I know more and more every day there are people saying, you don't have to repent to get saved. Well, I beg your pardon. The Bible's very clear now. It says, repent and be saved. Repent. You have to repent. You have to turn from your way of thinking. It doesn't happen overnight. You know, it's very simple. If you're going that way, you decide you want to follow Christ, so you turn around and you go that way. Okay? To put it bluntly, you know, you go down to the pub on Sunday and have a beer. Well, instead of going to church on Sunday and having a blessing. Okay? The Bible tells us the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now pay close attention to that last line there. Is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So in other words, you know, God looks upon the heart. He doesn't look upon the way you're dressed. He doesn't look upon the way you walk, the way you talk. He looks upon your heart. Everything that you do comes out of your heart. You see, God knows the end from the beginning. God knows the end from the beginning. He knows what's coming down the road. He knows this crazy world we're living in today and what's going on with all the infiltrating by the enemy from all these different countries. He knows all about that. Now think about it. A child in the womb. Now there are those who would say, this child is pure and sinless. Not so. Because of what occurred in the garden when sin entered by way of Adam and Eve, or more correctly, by Eve and Adam. You see, the child, though born a sinner, is helpless to understand or make the move to Christ. So, because God is the discerner, He's the one who understands. He knows, even before the child is born, that that child will come to Him. When he's old enough to understand. If he doesn't reach the age of accountability, he still belongs to Christ. He knows the thoughts and the intents of a newborn child. Now that might sound corny to some people. What thoughts or intents could a newborn child have? Well, you'd be surprised. In the eyes of God, plenty. But in your eyes, no, all you see is goo-goo-da-da. Well, maybe the goo-goo-da-da might be something that God listens to as well, but interprets where you don't. So don't think you're as smart as you think you are, all right? Yes, he knows the thoughts and the intents of a newborn child, but more importantly, he, God, knows the heart and what the heart will manifest in the future. Simply put, God knows who, God knows when, and God knows if that child will be saved. If we look in God's Word, well, we'll have a better understanding of how much God loves the little children. And when we read Luke 9, verse 48, we get a greater understanding when Jesus says, get this now, when Jesus says, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me, talking about himself, receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you shall be great. Shall be great. Also, if we check out Mark 10, verses 15 and 16, and Matthew 18, verses 1 to 5, the picture of God's grace becomes even clearer. Back in the Old Testament, when King David lost his child, he declared that the child could not come to him, but that he, King David, could go to the child through God's grace. Of course. This, of course, signifies that even though a child was born in sin, he is not held responsible. Or also if a child is born feeble-minded, impaired mentally, you think God's going to send them to hell? No. God's not some sort of an ogre that he would see his creation go to hell without a just cause. As we so clearly see in Romans 1, verses 24 to 28. Romans 1, verses 4 to 28. Let's read a little of this here. We see what happens when God separates the wheat from the chaff. It's not a pretty picture. Romans 1, verses 24 to 28. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. I want to go back to verses 22 and 23. Professing themselves to be wise, that's those who are not saved, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. There you have it. And add this afterthought in James 2, verse 10. This afterthought, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. So, whether you walk the proverbial straight and narrow or sin like a drunken sailor makes no difference in the eyes of a holy and righteous God. You are guilty of all. Oh, you might say, well, what do you mean by all? Oh, I mean, I may have stole this, I may have kicked this and done that and drunk and everything else, but I didn't kill anybody, so how can I be guilty? If you're a sinner, you're guilty in the eyes of God of all. Whether it be one sin or a million sins, you're guilty. Okay? Now, I could almost laugh when someone stands in my face and says, well, I may be accused of lying or cheating occasionally, or even kicking the neighbor's dog, but never once did I curse God. Never once. I can swear to that. My mind goes back to the woman at the well. Remember her? The woman at the well who had five husbands? Compare her sin, if you dare, to your own sinful estate. You see, in the eyes of God, sin is sin. And we are all guilty. Can you imagine the very Son of God suffering and dying at Calvary for only those who admit they're guilty sinners? No. All that proceedeth from the womb is guilty and needs a cleansing power of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came into the world to save, you got it, sinners. That's the good news. And since we know that all have sinned, you, me, him, her, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, do not try to convince yourself that you're not one of the lost sheep. Do not do that. If you fail, if you refuse to believe you're a sinner, you will be damned and you will go to hell. It's as simple as that. Please don't let pride set you aside. A long, long time ago, before I was even saved, in fact, I never even knew what the word being saved meant. This guy come up to me on the street one day. Well, he got right in my face. I mean, real close. I could smell his breath. I can still smell his breath today. He looked me right in the eye and he said, are you saved? Are you saved? I said, saved? From what? From going to hell, boy. From going to hell. The key phrase, of course, is going to hell. If one has a problem with believing in hell, then one would naturally have a problem with going to heaven. They're opposites, right? And opposites don't attract. once dead, no more dread. Sin forgiven is better living. Okay? You may be familiar with the popular song called Heaven's Just a Sin Away. Heaven's just a sin away. Oh, oh. You know the song I mean, right? Well, in fact, so is hell just a sin away. You got that? Hell is just a sin away. If you had committed only one sin in your entire life, and I'm not talking about the sin of Adam, for we are all born sinners. This is why the scripture says we must be born again. If you were to live your entire life sinless, you would still be a sinner in the eyes of God. A sinner in need of a Savior, of Jesus Christ. I think that at one time or other, we've all talked to someone who, by nature of their spiritual affiliation, truly believes they are above. They are above what happened at the cross. This is why we love preachers like Joel Osteen. They are never told they are sinners. He doesn't tell people they're sinners. No, he doesn't want to lose any money. He never tells them they're sinners in need of a Savior. My friends, God's Word tells us clearly that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. When God promises a mansion, it's not the one built with hands, like Joel Osteen's. Whether we agree or not, we need to be saved. We need to be born again of the Spirit. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Lest any man should boast, or woman. My friends, it burns my constitution when I fellowship with self-proclaimed Christians who are not Christians at all. At all. They wouldn't praise the Savior's name if their very soul depended on it, and it does. I played golf with people who said they were Christians. 18 holes. I'm singing Christmas songs all the way through it. Here and there, I mean, I'm not becoming a drag, but I'm praising the Lord. He hit a good shot. Wow, thank the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. The guy I'm playing golf with. Oh, rats, another bad shot. I said, well, you know, give the Lord praise anyway. Yeah, okay. What do? Hang in there. He'll get the idea. He'll get the picture. I mean, you can only act naive for so long. If you're really a Christian, then the name of Jesus is going to fall from your lips. Sooner or later. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Now, that's only part of the story. Winning the lost to Christ. And that's our job, to be ministers of the faith. Every one of us who professes to be a born-again Christian is given an inert desire to see the entire world come to Christ. Isn't that right? Is there someone in the back say no? No. If you are truly a born-again Christian, you want to see the whole world come to Christ, don't you? Now, I've been with this church a good number of years. And I do so love serving the Lord as an active minister of the faith. And that's what we all are. We're ministers of the faith if we're born again, if we're truly saved. We don't need to be behind a pulpit all the time. We need to be behind Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. everyone we see, everyone we talk to, whether we know them or not, whether we know them or not, is a potential enemy of the cross. Oh, well, they may talk the talk, might even walk the walk. But do they show the glow? Do they show the glow? When the voice of the archangel calls from the clouds of glory to come up hither, will you hear his call? Will you hear his call? Now, I've known many, still do, who are simply artificial Christians, phony balonies, full of self, but empty of God. When God appointed me, I say appointed, I mean called, he called me to put down my janitor's mop and broom and take up his word. I knew when God was calling me to be a school supervisor to a class of kids. How did I know? The same way you know if you're truly saved. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. With God's word under one arm and his textbooks under the other, well, there I went, into the fray of battle. Praise be to God. Kids from age 5 to age 15, in one classroom, in a church basement, each one a child of a Christian home, supposedly, all saved, or so I was told. By the second quarter, the parents had a meeting. They got together and they talked about their children in the hands of an angry God, using an angry supervisor, me. I wasn't angry. But sometimes you put on an air of anger when you're trying to make a point with a young child, and it's mistaken for anger. It's not, it's love. Why was God angry? Because many of the 20 plus children who had been told by their parents they were saved and on their way to glory, they were told by their parents now. I mean, the child didn't have to tell the parent, yes, I'm saved, yes, I believe. The parent told the child, you're saved. You're going to heaven. They're told by their parents they're saved and on their way to glory. But such was not the case. It was not the case. Unfortunately, it was not the same with many of the parents either. For 6 long years, I did everything within my God-given power to win the entire class over to Christ. Everything. Then, well, know this, my friends, and then I'm going to close. This is important. Before I became the school supervisor, both my wife and I had fellowship with every one of the parents whose children attended the school. Lots of fellowship. Great. When the end finally came and the school was closing, when the sin was revealed that would close and lock the doors, and the Lord had decided he had had enough. He had enough of parental intervention. He unveiled a great sin within our midst. And as quick as you can say, amen, God himself closed the school and gave the church over to fend for itself. Its demise was not long in coming. Where sin dwelleth, there is no hope, lest it be in Christ. You see, friends, when you're dealing with the things of God that are so precious to him, it's either God's way or the highway, as they say. There's no middle ground. But the sod of God, the sod of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, God bless every one of you. And if you're not sure of your salvation, check it out today. Get the examination done. Talk to your pastor. Amen. Amen.